So welcome to the Coaching at Work podcast. I'm Liz Hall, editor of Coaching at Work, and down the line I have Georgina Woodstra, who's an executive coach, founder and principal of Team Coaching Studio, which has been set up to support coaches in developing their practice as team coaches. And Georgina is a very seasoned executive coach and team coach who I've had the pleasure of hearing speak at the Coaching at Work conference. So I'm really happy that she's with us today. Georgina, would you mind telling me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course, Liz. Yeah, so I'm sitting here today in Winchester, in Hampshire, in the south of England. I'm recently married with three children, one of my own and two stepchildren and a dog. and I am a passionate advocate of coaching. I've been now 26 years practicing as a coach. Since coaching was a new thing in the UK, so it's been a real pleasure and privilege to be part of that. And then outside of working as a coach, I love the arts, so you know, cinema, live music, and art exhibitions. Anything to do with the arts and creativity, I find really stimulating and takes me to a different place.
Wonderful. And traveling, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. I love traveling, as you know, Liz, and I've always got some kind of scheming going on about where my next trip's going to be.
So. Yes, you're a source of, not, I wouldn't say exactly envy, but I'm often thinking, I want to go there. So inspiring.
Yeah. Well, it's part of travel for me is I get inspired by different values and by diversity, and I think there's a real link there. Team coaching, we live a lot of the time in the same organizations or with similar people and similar frames, and when I travel I go, so my beliefs about the world are different to your beliefs, my rhythm and way of living is different to other people's rhythm and way of living, and I think it increases possibilities.
Wonderful. I can absolutely see that. And can I sort of get you to cast your mind back, actually, because I'm just really curious about how you first got into team coaching specifically. What interested you in the first instance?
I first got interested in team coaching, I think it was about 17 years ago, when, maybe this is so for many other coaches as well, it's when a client of mine who happened to be a chief exec, who I was coaching, asked whether I could do some work with his team. And I remember him saying, you know, I've got a good team. I've got really strong people on the team. They're just not gelling as a team. And could you help somehow? And I thought it would be great. And so I said, well, I haven't done that before, but let's give it a go and see how that works out. And he was up for it. So I had a sort of soft start and, you know, a good relationship with chief exec. But I did what I tend to do when I don't feel sure of myself is I bought a load of books. You can see loads behind me here, Liz, on the screen. Mm. Loads of books on teams and facilitation and team development. There weren't books on team coaching at the time. And I took on board those ideas and learned by trial and error. I had some successes and I also had a lot of failures. I suppose that depends on your frame of reference. But I suppose principally I started by running away day sessions because that's what I got from the books. And I'd got, you know, an idea of where to focus, which was often around some kind of getting to know each other exercises, maybe using a psychometric tool and developing a team charter. So that was where I started. Mostly I find myself fairly able to connect with people in groups. So I mainly got good happy sheets, but I felt really disillusioned because I would come back and see the team again after a few months or the client again down the road, and they'd go, yeah, that was great, that away day, I can't quite remember what we did there, but I know I enjoyed it.
Okay.
So the impact was so minimal. And that's not why I get out of bed and go to work every day. I'm really interested in having an impact and being of value. And then it dawned on me one day that I didn't have that issue in one-to-one coaching.
Right.
I really believed that I was delivering value in one-to-one coaching. So there was a bit of a quandary for me in, you know, feeling competent as a one-to-one coach and on top of my game and floundering really in team coaching and not being very happy with myself or my impact of my work. And I did a lot of reflecting on it, and I realized actually that I wasn't coaching.
Okay.
That was the big light bulb moment, Liz. I had been facilitating.
Wow.
I'd been facilitating in a way day. And I got into coaching originally because I passionately believed in the philosophy of coaching and this idea that clients are creative, resourceful and whole, that clients have the answers and can achieve their potential, and that we don't need to give them the solutions or give them an agenda. So that was a huge aha for me, Liz. So I've been striving ever since really to develop and understand this actually sounds simple, but this big question of what is team coaching?
And I think it's a journey that a lot of people seem to have been on. You know, they can be amazing coaches when they're coaching one-to-one, then suddenly they're in this completely different context. And I've even heard it from organisations who said, well, we've brought in these people who are very well-known individual coaches, and actually it's gone really wrong.
So I think
that's quite a common journey. And I want to thank you really on behalf of the profession for just getting out there in the early days and getting on with it, because we all have to start somewhere, right?
We do. And almost every day I discover a fellow traveller. I had a lovely conversation with a coach this morning who had connected with one of my talks, and as a fellow traveller who's also been trying to work this out for the last 15 years of what is team coaching, but with coaching at the heart of it, the philosophy and stance of coaching. Yeah.
So I guess it's still shifting because we're always learning. But at this point in time, as we speak right now, you in Winchester, me in Spain, what is team coaching for you, Georgina?
I think team coaching is, at a fundamental level, it's a mindset. It's a philosophy of letting go of needing to know or of needing to be the expert in the room. Letting go of needing to control the outcomes and letting go of bringing the meaning-making frame of reference. And those few things are really where most of the books on team coaching that I receive at the moment are about. They're offering meaning-making frame of reference and telling us how to do things. They're not really about coaching, in my view. So if we take all those things away, then we're left with the need and capacity to be really present and to understand the impact that our presence, our way of being, has on a team, to make use of self in service of the team's learning outcomes and really trusting the process rather than trusting some theoretical frame of reference. When we're consumed by a theoretical frame of reference or a model of team effectiveness, and that's our lens that we're looking at the team through, we're making the model the master. And it's actually way more challenging than it sounds. It sounds quite simple, but this is why it's an art often takes many years to hone that capacity to be really present to the team.
I can absolutely understand that. And it'd be lovely to get some tips from you in a while about how that might start to be developed. But I was sort of wondering, when you were sort of talking about the early days of team coaching and what you were learning along the way, I was wondering if you were able to share any, I suppose, failures, really.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm calling to mind as we speak now a particular team who were a relatively new team. An organization had gone through a restructure and a redefinition of their strategy and what they stand for. And it was a bit of a phase in time where a lot of organizations were developing a strategy called One Something.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't either of these organizations, but there was one Barclays, one Tesco. The idea that an organization has many different products or divisions, how do we maximize the value of operating across the business? And the chief exec of the business wanted to really get the team into that space of oneness and operating as one team. And but this was at the time really when I was more facilitating than coaching.
Yeah.
So I consulted with the team leader, the chief exec. He gave a brief based on the outcomes for the day, and I planned an agenda all based around those outcomes. And they were around really getting clear on the strategy, the team owning that strategy and aligning to that strategy, and really understanding the need to work together as one team. So I set up this day where we started off with the chief exec really engaging them around their strategy. This was the idea. Moving into a little bit about your personal preferences and style and who are you in the team. And then a conversation about how do you align and forming a team charter around that. So really classic team development stuff. And I remember arriving at this away day space, a beautiful hotel in Sussex with massive grounds and great big grand rooms, and arrive in the room, and there's a huge boardroom table in the middle, and there's 17 people sitting around it.
Okay.
So I had understood his team to be, I think it was 8 or 9. And between my initial conversation with him and the day, he had invited all sorts of other people that he thought might be great to have there.
Uh-oh.
Who also ought to get the strategy under the skin.
Oh.
So there are 17 people. He then did his little intro piece, which he did in a very dry way with slides. So I hadn't prepared him well for that. And people were sitting there very passively, sort of looking at their watches and not really engaged. And then he said, and I've got a meeting. I'm sorry to do this, but there's a meeting I've got to go to this morning. I'll come back this afternoon.
Oh dear.
So he disappeared off and came back at, I think it was 4 o'clock or something like that. So I just had this feeling of almost sort of collapsing inside, going, oh my God, what's happening here? And what do I do with it? And the rest of the time with the team, I felt like I was sort of scrabbling to try and make something good out of fairly poor ingredients for the day. I don't mean the people were poor. I mean the conditions for success were not set up. So I learned a lot in that time, and we got to some outcomes in a, you know, I think team coaching isn't about facilitating a team to agree on tasks or agree on clarity. That's on decisions. That's facilitation. But that's where we got to. We got to clarity on the strategy and a team charter. But I doubt they ever did anything with it. And I went home and felt exhausted. And
yeah,
I lost the plot on that one.
I'm sure. Can you articulate what your key learnings were?
One was really work with the leadership of the team. It's not always a sole leader, especially in a self-governing team, but many of the teams I work with have a nominated leader. Really work with the leadership of the team to clarify their role and make clear agreements about how they're showing up in the day. These days I look them in the eye and say, as the leader of the team, my belief is that leadership has 50% contribution or more to team effectiveness. Mm-hmm. Therefore, my lens is I'm coaching you 50% of the time and I'm coaching the team 50% of the time. Are you up for that? Before I even willing to take on an assignment. And then we agree what that would look like and the degree to which I can challenge in the room. I make a contract about them being there throughout the whole session and that they are a team member with a clear role, but they are a team member. There isn't such a thing as leader and team as separate entities. And I also make it clear that when I'm working with an intact team, that it's only the team that's invited. There might be other appropriate interventions to do with a wider audience.
Yeah.
But for the team coaching session, only the team invited. And not so much from that piece of work, but from how I work now, I seek to embody the role of team coach as quickly as I can. By that, Liz, I mean I seek to not pre-prepare an agenda. This is something that seems to freak out many coaches who work with teams. But I was running a workshop the other day, and I there were about 50 coaches in the room, and I said, "Hands up, who's a coach?" All 50 hands went up, and I said, "Keep your hand up if you have a prepared agenda for your coaching session with your clients." And everybody's hand went down. So I said, "So put your hand up if you do team coaching," and it was about 30. And I said, "Keep your hand up if you have pre-prepared agendas for your team coaching sessions with the team." And all the hands stayed up.
That's so interesting.
So with out of awareness, usually, we're adapting. We're switching to a different role.
Yeah.
But still calling it coaching.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of is around the area you were talking about, the art of team coaching, the presence that you bring to it. Can you say a bit more about that, Georgina?
Yeah, so if we're not looking to lead in the room by designing the agenda, by standing up at the front, by holding the flip chart pens, by capturing on the flip charts, by typing the notes up at the end, then what's my role? It's like a recipe deconstructed in a way. It's a slightly strange idea. What's my role? And that this to work this way with clients needs a lot of clarification on that role, because it may not be in the client's frame of reference. If they ask for team coaching, what they have in mind or what they might have experienced before is team facilitation.
Yeah.
Let's do a team away day around, or 2 days around Lencioni's five dysfunctions of a team or something like that, and being facilitated around it. And then they get asked, they ask for team coaching, but they really have that facilitation in mind. So I really negotiate my role and get clear on that, as I would in one-to-one coaching. And say, you know, look, my role isn't to bring the answers or to be the expert or to advise you. It's to hold a space for you. And then in the room, I am often noticing both patterns that I'm observing as the team's working, and I'm noticing how I am being impacted by the team. So it's noticing within myself and noticing the system of the team in action. And this is usually whilst the team is going about their normal work, rather than me bringing pre-prepared agenda content. Okay. So they bring the agenda, just like coaching clients do.
Yeah.
This is the conversations we need to have. And I'm there in the process. Mm. And depending what their learning goals are as a team, then I may intervene and offer observations on that process. So to give you an example, I was working with a team just on Wednesday this week, and it's a public sector team. The organization has gone through effectively a huge merger with different leaders from either organization brought together to form a new team. those organisations previously were not very friendly with each other.
Right, right. So there.
Yeah, so the chief exec, sorry to keep talking about chief execs, but I have a chief exec practice, so that's the area I work in. The chief exec said to me, you know, great people, but they're not aligned and they're carrying a lot of tribal ideas from the many years behind us of taking positions against each other. It's really challenging to bring them together. But if we don't get aligned at the top team, we're never going to align these organizations. The only way to do it would be to clear people out who've worked here for years and get new people who aren't attached. So the learning goal was about how do we align as a team, and that was clear to the team as the stated goal, the first coaching goal. So it's not me bringing that to be a great team. You've got to be clear on your purpose. You've then got to be clear on your values and the rules of engagement. That's my frame of reference. This is what they wanted to work on. And they started off talking about their values. And as they were talking about their values, there were 8 people in the room. I noticed 3 had got really polarized and animated and were leaning in, and their voices were not raised as an angry, but the volume was up on their voices. A lot of energy in their communication with each other about the values. And the other 5 were sat back kind of observing. I didn't get the sense they'd gone, as in weren't present at all, but they were observing. And I let this play out for a while, and I call that sitting by the fire.
Okay.
So I start feeling, or sitting in the fire, sometimes called, I'm starting to feel this discomfort here, and I'm staying present to that.
Can you stay here in your stomach? Or?
Yes, I can feel it again now as I'm talking.
Okay. Interesting.
And as I'm observing, I'm allowing that feeling to grow without needing to control it, in order to explore it. And I'm waiting till there's a sort of real sense of a pattern has played out enough for it to be noticeable to everyone in the team. And then I intervene, and I ask to intervene, and they say, I'd like to pause for a moment. What do you notice about how you're interacting with each other at the moment? So my intervention's on the process, not on the content of what they're talking about. And I invite you to think about it in the context of being aligned as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And leave them to then respond to that.
Yeah.
And they then said, well, 3 people here feel more strongly about it than others, 3 don't. That's what somebody said. Somebody said, well, my personal values are different from the organizational one, but that's okay by me. I can compartmentalize it. All this stuff came out. And then I said, okay, so let's try an experiment. Let's dive back into the conversation. But I invite you to experiment having the conversation as an aligned team.
Hmm.
How would you go about it? And somebody said, well, I think we'd listen to each other more.
Okay.
Whereas at the moment, we've been all been pitching in our perspectives. And I think we'd build on each other's ideas.
Mm.
So I said, great. How about that? Simple experiment. Let's see how that works and run it for 5 minutes. And then I'd like to pause again so you could notice and reflect. So that's what we do. That's a competency we call an active experiment aimed at shifting a pattern or dynamic. It's not as a coach stepping in and go, now it's time to do a Nancy Klein thinking round.
Yeah.
And me introducing a prescribed process,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is a wonderful process. I'm a huge fan of Nancy Klein's wonderful work. In that moment, it's about getting the team to take responsibility for the process, not bringing in one from the outside, but the team to come up with the idea of how they're going to function better as a team. And that way I'm keeping the responsibility all the time with the team for the content and for the process of how they work together. So what they talk about, the task, and how they go about the task. So yeah, very simple example, and it's whether I'm working with an intact team or perhaps sometimes the team's learning agenda is to have more influence and be more effective in working with their stakeholders in the organization, then I work in the same way. I look to allow the dynamic to emerge. And then say, oh, look at what we have here. How interesting is that? What do you make of that? What's your awareness of this? And what do you choose to do with that as a team?
So there's a lot to, what I'm getting is there's a lot to pay attention to. It sounds simple and probably much easier one-to-one, but there's a lot going on, isn't there, in a team?
There's a lot going on. It takes a lot of practice. Mm. And what I find from the coaches we train and coaches who supervise is often the road to mastery is really about our own self-management.
Sure.
And managing our own need to add value, our need to bring a tool, our need to bring a theoretical concept or research says, those things can be good, research can be good, but I think sometimes we bring them as emotional props.
Sure.
So we add enough value in the room. And in that moment, it's taking us away from being present to what's already in front of us, what's mm-hmm. already there. Mm-hmm. The team's pattern and process will usually reveal itself within the first 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do a lot. We need to get out of the way to let it and stop trying to control it and manage it at the start by facilitating to allow it to emerge. Mm. Yeah. And then that ain't it interesting moment can happen.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And I know you've been writing regular columns for Coaching at Work, and you have your own organisation, as we mentioned earlier, developing. And you also supervise, you say.
Yes, and it's really around the practice. Coaching around the world, there are so many models of coaching and different approaches and ideas and ways of coaching being used in a one-to-one sense, and that's amazing. And my hope is that over the next decade we'll have the same with team coaching, but all bound by a shared philosophy of coaching, the idea that clients are creative, resourceful and whole. That belief in human potential, embodied in the coach, and then there's many right ways of coaching if we allow that to be the core.
Lovely. Yeah. And I'm certainly sort of thinking about how it's particularly needed in these times. So I don't know if you have that sense as well. Anything you'd like to say about the growth of team coaching and whether you feel it's actually?
Well, I think for me. There's two things that come to mind. One is, it's got a bit cliched, the acronym, the VUCA world.
Yeah.
And when I first heard that, it was another one of those sort of acronyms and out there kind of concepts. I've coached two teams this week, and they're teams I've worked with before. And in their initial check-in, what's very evident is the amount of anxiety in the room, the amount of volatility, the sense of the external world being uncontrollable and the potential impact that will have, whether it's government, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's climate change, potential impact on that uncontrollable elements on their organization and the responsibility they feel as leaders. I believe that as coaches, we work with that by creating space, a pause for them to have a more meaningful conversation about those concerns and anxieties. And when I hold that space, as I have twice this week, the team then know how important that is to them, how much it matters, and it recalibrates how they see their role as leaders. Mm-hmm. So I think now more than ever, team coaching is, well, I think it's going to be the next big thing. It's the new frontier in coaching, because the issues that we're experiencing in the world, both society and in organizations, I don't think are being addressed through one-to-one coaching. They're held in relationship. They're held in society, you know, in our values, in how we work with each other, how power is used and abused. And it's only by through collaboration and connecting people more with each other, and teams connecting with each other, that the negative patterns that we've built up in this world will start to change. So bring it on.
Bring it on. It certainly fills me with hope that to know you're out there doing this. And anything else you would say, Georgina, about what's going on in the world of team coaching?
Yeah, I suppose one of the things that myself and my colleagues really want to say is to coaches is trust yourself. Mm. Remember and rediscover your inner coach when you work with a team. Think about the different phases your coaching might go through when you work with a client. Some coaches start with a chemistry session. Again, when I asked team, in team coaching workshops, how many people do a chemistry session with a team they're going to coach? I've only met one or two people who do.
It's so interesting. Yeah.
So the whole idea of it's voluntary and chemistry is important has gone out the window. Remember your coach. Remember the phases that you go through. Some coaches love psychometrics and have a diagnostic phase. Some work more emergently. Map out what you do in one-to-one coaching and find coherence in that and congruence with your own practice. There is no need for coaches out there listening to subordinate your thinking to the books or the gurus who come from an expert position and tell you the thinking frames or the models that you need as a coach. You already coach successfully. Build out how to practice that as a team coach. And the answers, I don't believe, are in the theory. Similar to one-to-one coaching, theory might help, but really who we're being, how present we're being, and how we show up to a team is the work. So amplify the being and trust the process, and make the trust in the process more of a master than trust in somebody else's model or theory or toolkit. Because we don't need to do stuff to a team. We don't need to process them through a prescribed process. We know that on one-to-one coaching. Mm. So it's just translating that. So I passionately want and believe that coaches will find their own agency. And yet it's such a human thing, isn't it, to want to find the guru who has the answers, the top 10 tips, yeah, and the right models that are going to give you credibility and authority when working with a team. Yeah. And that might get, that I've used that, certainly. It got me in the room. Mm. But intend to shed the armor of it as quickly as you feel ready to do so as a team coach. But intend to shed the armour, because that's all it is, in my view. Mm.
Brilliant, brilliant. It's very empowering to hear you speak about it like that. Not that it's easy necessarily, there's work to be done, but it's a different kind of journey, isn't it?
Yes, it is, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. So power to the people, power to coaches, absolutely. Power to teams. Go and take our stance in the world and continue to champion and believe in our profession, because I think... there's so much work for us to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so, so much, Georgina, for spending your time with us today. How can people find you if they want to check out what else you're doing?
I'm on LinkedIn. Uh-huh. Georgina Woodstra, that's Woodstra. Or on our website, teamcoachingstudio.com. They can join our newsletter. We have a growing community of practice that's not limited to people who have trained with us, but anyone who wants to be in the conversation about team coaching. So join that newsletter, communicate with me on LinkedIn, get involved.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Georgine. I've really enjoyed this time with you.
Me too, Liz. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you.
Bye now.